God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God, our Father in heaven, and from Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Well, good. This is Good Friday. And why on earth would we call this good, right? I mean, this is blood. This is gory. This is the King dying, our King. He's dying. Why would we call it good? Well, it's as it's written here, as Neil read a few moments ago from Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So prophesied Isaiah. All of our sins placed upon Jesus. It was gory. It was terrible. It was painful. Our King died, but he died for you, and he died for me, our Lord Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life as a gift. So, should we really call this Good Friday after all? I think maybe a better name would be Great Friday, don't you? Amen? Not that we rejoice in suffering, but we rejoice in the suffering because of it was for righteousness' sake. Because this is not just a story we're reading on black and white pages of a book, although this is God's book and true. This is something that really happened that God in heaven considers valid for the payment for our sins so that we, believing on him, can live forever. Not everybody is receiving this in the world. It comes to us through faith. And tonight, you believing the gospel have already inside of you, says John the Apostle, eternal life. And that's going to be manifest on the day of our Lord's coming all the more clearly. So, Great Friday, wouldn't you say? This is our justification and our salvation, that Christ the King died for our sins. And this Lent, we've been doing a sermon series, as you know, on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus went up onto the mountain and preached to his disciples of the coming kingdom. And amazingly, tonight's very final word that we're going to look at from the Beatitudes there, the Sermon on the Mount, has to do exactly with what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's amazing how God worked that. I didn't even plan it that way so well, but he did. So let's take a look here. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then he says this, verse 10 and 11 and 12, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." So let's take one last look then at the Sermon on the Mount and see if we can understand this a little bit better. What's Jesus talking about? Being persecuted, and when you're persecuted, you're actually blessed and you should be joyful? What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, first, the world would have no idea what Jesus is talking about when he says this. They're like, blessed when you're persecuted, dude, no way. You're blessed when you're not persecuted, right? That's what the world would say. You're blessed when everything's going well for you. You're blessed when the world loves you. You're blessed when you get fame and money and fortune and the world loves you. And you and the world go together like two peas in a pod. Then things are good for you, Jesus. What is this, blessed are you when you're persecuted? That's crazy talk, Jesus, says the world. Jesus says, no. He says in Luke 6, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." Jesus says, our King, and picture yourself there on that mountainside, even right now. Perhaps there's a little fire before you. Jesus leaning upon a rock, up in the upper airs of the mountains, above the lower lights of civilization. He speaks to you of the coming kingdom, which is coming and is already in us. He says, listen carefully, blessed are you when you are persecuted. Wow. These are deep and fantastic words. What's it mean to be persecuted here? Well, if you look that up in the Greek, not that we need to, but I will. Dioko is the word for persecuted, which means when you're persecuted, you're prosecuted, when the world pursues you hotly, presses you hard, seeks to overwhelm you by force, to violently subdue you and overcome you, to drive you out, to trouble you, to force their way upon you with hurt in mind, to bring you over to their side. Blessed are you when you're persecuted and pressed hard and followed hard after by the world and violently used and attacked and abused by the world. And Jesus says, when you're reviled, you're blessed. What does it mean to be reviled? Well, the word there in the Greek is onedidzo, which means when you're reproached by the world, when you're scolded by the world, when you're defamed and disparaged, railed at, reviled, assailed with abusive words, for my sake, you're blessed, says Jesus. So these are amazing words, and do these things actually come to pass in real life for Christians? Man, let me give you a few examples here. You can go into sports. You've probably heard last year, 2015, in Washington State, Bremerton School District, a guy named Coach Joe Kennedy, and he was told by basically the ACLU, I believe, but the lawyer says, and the school said, strict adherence is required and expected, and violations cannot be tolerated. You will not, under any circumstances, bow your knee to Jesus Christ at the end of this football game, or you'll be fired. Well, what did he do? Coach Joe said, I'm going to be bold in my faith and fight the good fight. Whatever happens, happens. And after the football game, he bowed his knee to Jesus with the team and prayed as he'd done every game for 7 years, and he was fired, persecuted, and cast out as evil, reviled for the name of Christ. Is this coming to pass in Coach Kennedy? You could look at a similar case in Lewis Palmer High School in Denver, Colorado in 2006. Erica Corder was a valedictorian, number one, the best in her class. She was giving the valedictorian speech at the graduation, and they said, don't you use that name of Jesus. She got up there and used the name of Jesus, her Savior, and they didn't give her her diploma. And it took a long, long time in court proceedings to get it. Hollywood, you could go there. You ever hear of Kevin Sarbo? When I was a little kid, I watched the show Hercules a couple times. I don't know if you ever saw that. Christian actor. He was in God's Not Dead, by the way. And he says in an interview that there's a Christian anti-religious bias in Hollywood. Duh, we didn't know that, right? And he says that once they know you're a Christian, basically your chances of getting a job are virtually nil. You're reviled. You're persecuted for the name of Christ. Even in churches, and y'all know this story well, but if you're a visitor, maybe you don't. I was at one time in the ELCA Lutheran Church, and I was confessing that we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and that the Bible is God's without error, inerrant word of God. Well, I got turned into the seminary from my vicarage supervising pastor for believing that, believing the heart of the gospel, right? And we met in a secret room, and a panel of liberal seminary professors and the assistants of the bishop flew down from New England and interrogated me on my beliefs. And they basically said at the very end, Greg, your ability to continue toward ordination is dependent upon how willing you are to be changed in your theology by the voices of the authorities of the ELCA. You can't be saying you have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. Wow. I mean, I thought this was a Christian church, but at any rate, what is this? This is persecution for the name of Jesus Christ, even inside the church. It's there, right? This is the heart of the gospel, said Martin Luther. Justification by faith in Christ. And happily, God granted me the words and the courage to stand on my faith, as I could do no other. Here I stand, I can do no other. And we have it easy in America, let me tell you. If you were to go to other countries of the world, you know, 70 million Christians, at least they say, have been martyred since the days of Christ. 70 million? And then today, in the last century, more than all the other centuries put together were martyred. In the 1900s, our Christian brothers and sisters. And today, if you were to go into other countries, if I were to say what I'm saying up here tonight, and you were all, say, Muslims in those countries, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, you wouldn't have let me even get this far in the sermon. I would be dead by now, right? So our brothers and sisters have to suffer persecution, reviling for the name of Jesus Christ, where they're pressed hard and persecuted. But Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and they cast out your name and speak against you falsely on my account. Your reward is great in heaven, says Jesus. And so why are we persecuted as Christians? Well, let me just see if I can make this brief here, because if we turn over here to John chapter 8, Jesus was at odds with the world as well. He says here in John chapter 8, verse 43, says to the Jews, why don't you understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. So there was contention between the king and the world. Why? Why does the world cast us out and persecute us? Number one, just like Jesus, he says, because my word finds no place in them. My words in you, they won't accept your words because they don't accept mine. He also says, because I'm the light of the world and the world is in darkness. And the world can't stand the light. Also, as Jesus says here, there is a prince behind this world. You know this. The prince of darkness, Jesus says. He was a murderer from the beginning. He is the, quote, God of this world, God little g. He's running the world. He has permission to do so, in a sense, for a time. And that's why the world can't stand Christians, because we're not of the world. Jesus chose us out of the world. We belong to another kingdom. And these two kingdoms are at war. It's like Robin Hood. I have to always come back to him, one of my great heroes. Right? In those days, if you recall, in England of old, you had King Richard, the true Lionheart of England. And he was away on a holy crusade. His evil brother, Prince John, at that time usurped the throne with his violent and evil Norman henchmen. And at the time when he took over, the kingdom then was in darkness, and he ruled viciously. But those who were loyal to King Richard were together as a company, Robin and his band of merry men. And Prince John pressed hard after him to persecute him, to destroy him. And so it is for us. We have a king who is the rightful, true heir and king of this world, the Lionheart, Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We are loyal to the king. We are Robin and his merry men. And that's why we suffer under Prince John, who is on the throne for a very short time before Richard returns, before Jesus returns. That's why we're suffering. That's why the world can't stand the name of Jesus at a valedictorian speech or at a high school football game or on the names of lips of a Christian in the Middle East or such places, because there's a prince, Prince John, the prince of darkness, Satan, a murderer from the beginning, Jesus says. He has nothing to do with the truth. But Jesus says, I'm the king of heaven. I am the true lion heart, and those who are loyal to me are to expect persecution. Amen? For Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in this world will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. So what should be our response when we are persecuted and suffer for his name's sake? Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. That word, rejoice and be glad, the word there, agaliao in the Greek, which means leap for joy. You should be jumping out of your seats. You should be like a bottle of champagne that's shook up and ready to just pop and explode when you are persecuted for my name's sake. Because, why? Number one, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In other words, you're in great company, Jesus says. You are part of Robin and his merry men if they persecute you. If you're with Prince John, he doesn't persecute his own people. Think about how you can do the worst things in the world, the most abominable things, and the world exalts you, right? You can be a rock star and twerk, I hate that word, right? Before millions of people, and then what happens? You're welcomed onto the morning talk shows and everybody admires you, okay? That's getting exalted in rank from Prince John. But if you are persecuted, you have the company, Jesus says, of Moses, who is persecuted at the hand of Pharaoh. The company of Elijah, who is persecuted at the hand of King Ahab and Jezebel. You have the company of James and Peter and John, persecuted at the hands of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And Paul, who was persecuted at the hands of the Jews and the Gentiles. You're in good company, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, Jesus says. Leap for joy. Secondly, he says, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You know, if you're persecuted in Sherwood Forest by Prince John, if you're persecuted, that means you don't belong to Prince John. You belong to King Richard's kingdom. Jesus says, if you're persecuted in this world, that is evidence. Yours is my kingdom. I give my kingdom to you. Yours is the kingdom of heaven when you suffer in this world. That's beautiful. I leap for joy at that. And he says, also rejoice and leap for joy because your reward is great in heaven. What happened at the end of Robin? Prince John didn't remain upon that throne forever. When Richard, the Lionheart, the true king of England, returned, there was a great reversal. John and all of his henchmen were either killed or exiled or imprisoned. And all who followed him were brought low to judgment. But those who were loyal to the king, to the Lionheart, who were counted as criminals for a time while John ruled, and as outcasts, hiding in Sherwood Forests, persecuted, when Richard ascended the throne, they were exalted. And Robin went from criminal to earl, a title of great rank and lands and castles, and so also his merry men. And so Jesus says, your reward is great in heaven when you're persecuted. The word in the Greek is misthos. Your wages are great. Your pay is great. Your hire is great. Your recompense is great. Your reward is great whenever you suffer for the sake of the king's name. That's beautiful. And as Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the King, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And you're never closer, at least you never feel closer to the King often, than when you're persecuted. As Paul says, when everybody came against him, he says, but the Lord stood by me. And when all deserted me, the Lord stood by me to proclaim the message fully that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. The king says, when you stand up for me, blessed are you. I am with you. I'm at your side. I've got your back. Go forward. Leap for joy. This is a day to fight, Robin and my merry men. Which leads us to Good Friday. Well, actually, what did we call it? Great Friday. Why? Because our King is the ultimate fulfillment of this word of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and when you are reviled. When Jesus came in disguise, if you will, cloaked in mortal-looking flesh, Jesus came and faced the Prince of Darkness. John, if you will. And the devil, John, took him to all the kingdoms of the world on a high mountain and said, look, all these I will give you if you'll bow down and worship me. Throw in your lot with me, Jesus, and I'll give it all to you. And what is Jesus' response? Loyal to his Father? Begone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then he suffered and was persecuted by this evil man, this evil spirit, this fallen angel. And he did it through men. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Then they plaited a crown of thorns on him and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe and came up and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Do you know what time that took place? Midnight. He's already suffering. A long night. Then they blindfolded him, "Prophesy against us." And they spoke many words against him, reviling him. There's that word. And then on the third hour of the day, which is the 9 a.m., they crucified him with two others on either side and Jesus between them. After being scourged all night long and reviled on the cross at 9. Then they came by and derided him and wagged their heads. "He saved others, he can't save himself." And they reviled him again. At the sixth hour, which is high noon, there was darkness over the land. And then at the ninth hour, at 3 p.m., after 3 hours hanging on the cross, Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he breathed his last. And Pilate wondered that he was already dead. Why was Jesus already dead? Well, Jesus gave up his spirit. It wasn't taken from him. He gave his life. And he did so at a perfect timing because they had to get him into the tomb before sunset, which was quickly coming, and they had to rush to fulfill the scripture that he might be buried before sunset, according to the law of the scriptures. And then he remained there, which we're remembering tonight. But why did our king die? The Lionheart, Jesus, for righteousness' sake. He suffered, friends, for righteousness' sake. Counted as a criminal by Prince John, but no. He was counted as a loyal servant by God. And he gave his life for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And this is the purpose, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe in the king tonight? Are you his loyal subjects? We live in a democracy and we're all into that these days on the news, but never forget, we're in a kingdom, friends. And this kingdom is at war with the kingdom of this world. If you suffer for the sake of the name of the king, the true king in this world, blessed are you, Jesus says. Leap for joy. And Jesus' reward was great. When he had made satisfaction for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool for his feet. The Lionheart. Jesus is called in the Bible the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's coming quickly. He's even already here, masquerading, if you will, like Richard did before he came to the throne. Jesus is amongst us. "As you do it to the least of these," Jesus says, "you do it to me." And very soon, he's coming quickly on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory and all of the armies of heaven with him. And on that day, he will say, "My servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry, John's men. Behold, my servants, Robin and his men, shall drink, but you, Prince John, and your men shall be thirsty. My servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for gladness of heart, but you shall cry out for pain of heart and shall wail for anguish of spirit." And the king will say, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things won't be remembered or come to mind." And he says to you tonight, as we remember his death, the death of our king, he says, "Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, the coming kingdom. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people." Therefore, the final word is this. Since our Lord Jesus and our King has suffered for us, let us also, therefore, go with him outside the camp, bearing abuse for him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. In Jesus' name, amen.